So how many of you are willing to be a warrior for love? Any warriors for love in the room? Ooh, that's what it takes a lot of the time when we are committed to recognizing and seeing our own miracles. It requires us to be willing to be a warrior determined to see and experience the good of life. So often we think of that word warrior, and I didn't even know they were singing this song, right? So you're never off target. I love that. But when, most of the time when we hear the word warrior, we think about fighting war, fighting from a place of anger. But every week, in the last few weeks, when we talk about manifesting miracles, you've got to be a warrior. You have got to be willing to put on your armor and deflect all the things that are distractions. You absolutely must be willing and ready and committed to do whatever it takes to allow yourself to experience heaven on earth. So that was a perfect song. And for those of you who've been hanging out with me the last few weeks, we know we started the first week reminding ourselves that there is no mountain high enough, no valley low enough, no river wide enough to block God from your life. And if you know that, then you're not afraid to try different things. And when you climb all of these different mountains, you know, you find out that the mountain called being in the entertainment industry in California is a pretty cool mountain, but you don't want to go all the way to the top of it. You'd much rather come to Central Texas and live a different life, right? And so you climb a different mountain and you find new vistas and new valleys and a new landscape. And then last week we just got a little grounded in this idea that mountains aren't always, they're not all bad. There are things that we can learn from mountains. Like if we think as steadfastly, if we stand as steadfastly as the mountain that will not be moved and doesn't want to be anything else, then we actually are laying the foundation for something amazing in our lives. So I'm just curious. Have there been any miracles this week? Good thing I'm going back to Dallas. Oh, gosh. So have there been any miracles this week?
Yes.
So turn to a couple of people close to you and share with them the miracle that you experienced this week. You have 15 seconds. Go. 15 seconds is up. Wrap it up. Now, it is not enough. It is not enough just to notice your miracles. You also do have to tell other people to encourage them, and you have to celebrate the miracles you have. So if you're able, I invite you to get on your feet, because every one of those miracles you just talked about, we are going to celebrate those miracles with a 30-second dance party.
30-second dance party.
Ha 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 ha! And Leah, this Leah says, it's a miracle. And I know some of you looked around and thought it was a miracle that the person next to you actually stood up and danced. So we really do have to celebrate the miracles that happen in our lives. And mainly for the last 3 weeks, I've been encouraging you to think about the miracles happening in your own life and how you personally can open the door to miracles and allow them to come forward. You've had the opportunity to hear from a few people each week about the miracles that they've been experiencing or noticing. Things that maybe were already happening or happened 2 years ago or 6 years ago, but are brought back to the forefront of the mind as, wow, it's really a miracle. And today I want to remind myself and you, I want to remind all of us that while it's important to see those miracles and celebrate them, there are also some other kinds of mountains that we have to move out of our way. That when we experience our personal miracles, we can really feel how exhilarating that is. That something that was a block or a barrier, and we began to think of it as a mountain that was stopping us, that we move it out of the way, and it renews number one, power, faith. But personal miracles are not the only kinds of miracles. And personal mountains are not the only kinds of mountains. You know, there are mountains that we often don't like to think or talk about. Mountains like one that comes up for me all the time, racism. Mountains of pollution, mountains that take the form of environmental changes or climate change, mountains that look in the world like poverty or war or political party polarity. Mountains like homophobia, mountains like gender disparities. How many of us feel one or more of those mountains blocks our path to joy? Is there anyone in the room who sometimes recognizes that one of those mountains, those societal mountains, actually makes life harder for someone in our family? How many of us approve of those mountains? Yeah. How many of us actually sustain or add to those mountains, either actively or unconsciously, because we don't take any action? So as I was thinking about today, I really was thinking about this one unity principle. It kept coming up in my mind, and at first I didn't realize it was related to this talk. At first I just thought, oh, okay, this is the week that I'm being reminded of this for whatever reason. But there is a basic unity principle that says, see, even baby Silas knows this principle, right? Unity teaches us that each person is a unique and valuable expression of God. Each person is created with sacred worth. It's a basic foundational principle. Now I want you to stand up if you believe that principle is true. And it's okay if you stay seated. It really is. But I have a hunch that many people in this room believe that principle. Just look around. These are people who, just like you, want the best, not only for themselves, but for everyone else. You can be seated. Because if you believe that every other person is also created of sacred worth, and every other person is a unique expression of the divine, by whatever name you prefer to call it, then how is it that we can sit by and let others live a life that is anything short of heaven on earth? Yes, yes, let the church say amen. That is the perfectly timed amen. Thank you. Because, see, these big folks were afraid to say it, right? We get so caught up in trying to manipulate the world so that each one of us can have our own little perfection, our own little sunshine, our own little, I don't want you to feel guilty. I too want to have a life I love. I too make choices to look for and to try to set into motion a series of natural activities in alignment with spiritual law that begin to show up and have me saying, it's a miracle! But our principles are simply, like, that's the beginning. That's the first step. That's laying the foundation. If you've been to the doctor recently, or taken someone to the doctor recently, you know that that doctor went through a lot of classes and learning and school and education. And then that doctor completed an internship. He or she was an intern. And then that doctor, they may have also studied additionally in a specialty. Every doctor we go to, we expect that they laid a foundation, they got the education, they studied, they practiced, they followed someone else or had guidance as they interned, and then they put all of that together to work for the better health of people in the community where they live, to serve and to educate others and to make a positive difference to end disease or cure disease or treat people who have a disease so that their health will improve. Does that make sense? I mean, that's like, yeah, Tracy, you took a long time to say that. I think about in the National Guard that our fellow human beings who join the National Guard or any type of first responder service or the military, the foundation you sign up and you go to boot camp. That some people say, I went to hell. But they go to boot camp to learn the basics and to prepare themselves to respond in times of need. And not just war, if you think about the military, right? There are so many ways the military serves the community or the nation. People in the military have every kind of job you find in civilian life as well. But everybody goes to boot camp. And you graduate from that foundation and you start practicing whatever skills you learn and the talents you bring to that. And then, like last night, there's a tornado or a series of tornadoes along the Red River. on both the Oklahoma and Texas sides of the border, or there's a hurricane in Florida, a National Guard's staff rushes in to provide service for the community, for the whole. They don't learn all these skills just for themselves, just to say, I'm proud, and now I have access to this, and I have this power. And yeah, it's not just that. So how can we, as people who say and believe that we are here as unique, individualized expressions of the One, how can we simply hope for or look for miracles only in our own lives? Ernest Holmes wrote this quote that I just love. Circumstances do not create themselves. They are always molded by someone's thought patterns. In our collective lives, they are molded by the sum total of all persons' thoughts. In our individual lives, circumstances are molded by our own personal individual thoughts. But the sentence before that, I'm just repeating it. In the collective life, circumstances are molded by the sum total of all persons' thoughts or thought patterns. Because an individual thought doesn't necessarily manifest anything unless that one thought is repeated over and over and over and over again, or that one thought is attached to a very strong emotion, or that one thought is something that is a single thought that is thought by many, many people. This idea that when you are manifesting in your own life, you've attached a lot of emotion and clarity and belief and faith to that thought. And you have repeated it, and then you believe it can happen, and then you expect it, and then it shows up. That's all that's happening on our earth. 7+ billion people, 8 billion people. And what thought patterns are being repeated over and over and over and over and over again? Oh, there's nothing that we can do about poverty. You know, I just take care of my own family. See a miracle happening that everyone has enough money in order to have a life where they are living beyond survival. Or there's the thought pattern of, well, I'm not racist, and so, you know, I'm doing my part to change. I'll pray that racism ends. And when I see something in the news that has happened, oh, well, it doesn't really have anything to do with me. I can't do anything about it. I'm not there. I know it was Indigenous Peoples Day a few weeks ago, but, you know, I don't have any interaction with a Native American or an American Indian tribe. Yes, you do. Your thought patterns and what you allow others to think and to do has a cumulative effect. And so we speak up for that which we know reflects life, the 12th power, in its most pristine and divine way. Otherwise, we're just being like the ostrich, you know, or the stereotype of the ostrich. that the ostrich will put its head in the sand because if it doesn't see or hear whatever discord is happening around it, it's safe. It must not be happening if the ostrich can't see it or hear it or feel it. And I'll raise my hand, and maybe some others of you will raise your hand, that there have been times in my life where I've been an ostrich. I've been like the ostrich. I guess I haven't actually been the ostrich. But I've been like the ostrich, thinking if I just focus on what's good for me and ignore everything else that I know isn't quite right, but I got my own problems to worry about. Then what hope is there for the miracle of a world that is the living, that demonstrates the living presence of the One? What hope is there that oneness and unity and harmony and love can actually be a palpable presence in the world I live in today? I see, there's a book that this week when I go back to Dallas, I'm going to pull it off the shelf because I haven't looked at it lately. But the book is I See a World. And all of the photos in the book represent the kind of world I want to live in. You see, it's not, in my opinion, for me to be an ally to the LGBTQ community, being heterosexual and cisgender, I'm not being an ally to fix the world for them, that group of people that's different from me in some way. When I think like that, I am still creating this separation that they're different from me and I'm going to go help them because, you know, I got it good. No, I think of it as I want to create the kind of world I want to live in, and I am doing and saying the things that I do and showing up at the events I show up and giving my money to the places and the organizations I give my money to because I am planting the seed for the miracle of equality and love and oneness to grow. Amen. So I invite you to be about planting that same seed. I invite you not to feel bad about anything you have done or not done before this moment, but to look at this moment and to take this moment in as a new beginning, as a fresh start, as a time to say what you can only say when you believe that there is only one God, one presence, one creator who has created all and is constantly expressing and expanding and evolving life and giving humanity the opportunity to create heaven on earth. And if you believe that, then you will be able to say what I sometimes hear myself saying when I think about those mountains of poverty and polarity and racism and pollution and people without enough water or with no clean water or people who have no place to live, the unsheltered, whatever that mountain is that you know you have a connection to, then I want you to be able to say, mountain, move out of my way. And know that that mountain is going to crumble. So in your mind's eye, imagine what is the mountain that you are ready to move out of the way of humanity having its best experience. For 3 weeks, you've been thinking about the mountains that you personally face. And even last week, I said, think like a mountain, because a mountain will not be moved. But there is one thing that will move a mountain, and that is the power and the presence and the wholeness and the fullness of Spirit. Of that which created it all. It is the only thing that can move, but it will not move the mountain unless we apply our free will, we apply our strength, we apply our wisdom, we apply our power. Look at every one of the 12 powers. It's up to us to use the power and direct the universal power of Spirit. So let's ground this into our individual and collective spirit. There are mountains. There are mountains in society. They seem really big. Maybe insurmountable. But I know there is no mountain that is too big for God. Spirit looks to each individual human and humanity as a collective to direct its force, its law. And it is possible to say, mountain, move out of the way. I know how to do this in my personal life. I turn away and I take down the mountains of fear and anger and doubt and worry. And the mountains of financial challenges or divorce or disease get moved. But today I simply decide to apply that same process to the mountain that I no longer want to climb or sustain, with dozens or hundreds or thousands or even millions of people around the world. I claim that now is the time to move some pretty big mountains. Take a breath. And know with me that right here and right now, mountains are moved. They are already moved in the mind of spirit, in universal mind, because it is so clear in my individual mind right now that I know I live in a world where racism and poverty, where environmental justice prevails, where there is an end to people being unsheltered and not having a safe home to live in. Right here and right now, I take a breath and I again see in my mind's eye clearly that now, right now, is the beginning of a big change, and I want to be a part of it. I choose to be a part of it. I am a part of it, and I simply turn to my left and my right, and I look ahead and I say, mountain, move out of the way. Mountain, move out of the way. Mountain, move out of the way. And the mountain moves. No doubt, no drama, just the demonstration of love right here, right now, eternally unfolding. And repeat after me, I am a part of this. I am a part of this change. Mountain, move now. Breathe. Feel the mountain moving. It is moving because of you. The world needs you. We anchor this in the depths of our individual and collective soul by saying Ashe, Aho, Amen, Amin, and so it is. And as you slowly bring yourself back into this moment, this place, and this space, come back knowing that it is us. We are committed to bringing and being the expression of heaven on earth. Let there be light. Now, before I completely close, I just, you know, when you plant an acorn, what do you expect? A tree, hopefully an oak tree. And when my mother used to plant rose bushes in our backyard, she fully expected that there would be roses that bloomed. And maybe some of you, when you plant a donation, financial donation to a nonprofit, you expect that the services they offer are going to grow and serve more and more people. And so I hope that in the last few weeks, I've planted a few little miracle seeds, and we're going to grow some miracles. But I want to just plant a couple more before I have potluck that you're going to feed me so well and then say goodbye. So Louise Hay wrote this. She said, as my mind can conceive of more good, the barriers and the blocks that I believed in before dissolve. And my life becomes full of all these little miracles that pop up. Now, okay, I paraphrased her a little bit because she didn't say all those little miracles. But that her quote does say that all the miracles start popping up out of the blue. And so one of the miracles I've been so deeply grateful for recognizing in the last 3.5 weeks has been your awesome music team. And so to remind them of the miracle they are, and that I know you know they are, I'm gifting them with a book that has 25 quotes, some of my favorite quotes about miracles, because you all are a miracle every week. And I have one for Bruce.
Bruce, too.
Thank you. And so that's one. And then there are 6 of you in the room. Leah said something about, you know, I'm going to be checking on you to see if you're, like, living the miracle life. Well, I need 6 deputies. So there are 6 of you in the room who are going to be my, I'm planting you as the seed to nurture and encourage, that's the word I want, not police, but to encourage people to see their miracles. And I didn't know how I was going to pick these 6 people. So there are 6 chairs in this room, and if you reach in down in front, they have a little blue post-it note with a number on it. And if you have a post-it note with a number on it, then I need you to come up here. There should be 6 of you. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. Come up, come up. Okay, but. Can you come up here, please? Can you come up here, please? Please, but there's another one. There's 6 of these. Are there some empty chairs?
I played the Powerball and all I got was this poster.
All right, so. Maybe, I don't know, but so what numbers do I have? I have 1, I have 4, 6, 3, 2, and so number 1 is missing, but that's okay, because the 5 of you, please take 1 and give to the next, the 5 of you are going to be miracle guides, miracle guides. So I want you to see, and you online too, I want you to see who you can depend upon to inspire you with quotations about miracles and living the example of miracles in their lives. Okay, you can go now. Because I don't want to come back in a few months and have you say, oh, well, we forgot all about miracles. Oh, yeah, you're back. Well, when I come back, I will not be talking about miracles. I will be hearing about your miracles and talking about something else. So the six of you are the miracle seeds that I'm planting. But for everybody else, here's what I want you to repeat, this affirmation, and then live it. And then we are going to go to the rest of the service. I love miracles and miracles love me. No thing and no person
can block my miracles.
And so it is.